Blog Talk Radio.
To each and every one of you, regardless of where you're joining us from, I want to welcome guest 5385 to today's segment of the A New Day show. I was saying to my honored guest earlier on, who is hanging out in the virtual green room, that fall is quickly approaching. The plants and the trees are still lusciously green. However, the weather is getting a little bit nippy. However, it's not a complaint. I am so honored and privileged to be alive that I can experience the weather. So, again, I want to welcome you to today's segment. As always, on a Sunday, we are dealing with life issues. And today, I'm only having one guest on. So I am encouraging you to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And remember, so long as you have a remark or a comment or you just want to say something, if you know my honored guests, I encourage you to call in and express your sentiments for her. My guest today is Stephanie Limon. I hope I pronounce it right. When she comes on, she will certainly let me know that. I want you to show her some love, just like you show all the other guests when they come on, and get involved. Get involved in the conversation. She is a very talented young woman who is doing a lot for our community, and she's transforming lives in many different ways, and it is such an honor to have her on. I want to thank Sylvia Bowder, the founder of Women on the Rise, for introducing us together. And this is what it is all about. You, as you all know, I am on a mission to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And what better way to accomplish that other than to be partnering and joining forces? Because the days of lone rangership is gone. Now we need to pool our resources and just work together to do what we were called to do. And with a clear understanding that because we are authentic and unique, there are not any competition. You can only enhance each other. So really and truly, do not hold your progress and your success back. because you are afraid that somebody's going to take what you have. Trust me, no one can take what you have, because what you have is authentically yours. I want to remind you to save the date. March the 23rd through the 26th will be the Vision Weekend Conference in New York City. And I tell you, it is going to be a vision transformation revolution weekend. If you are standing at a crossroad and you're wondering, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? Well, your answer will be at that conference. If you are looking to release your brilliance, that is the place for you to come. We have some phenomenal speakers. I am waiting to receive the save the date flyer. I am just waiting to confirm this even with two more of my speakers, of my panelists. I have all the main speakers already confirmed. I am waiting on the panelists to bring me send me their confirmations, and then we are ready to release the names. However, grant us a favor and go onto facebook.com Vision Weekend and please like our fan page there and share it with your friends. This way you will be kept informed of what we are doing. And I want to welcome my friend Ellen. Ellen to the show. Ellen is my new girlfriend. We met this summer and we went into New York City and did some girl stuff. And when I reminded her about the show, she was trying to finish up her cleaning so she could be here. And she is on the show. So Ellen, I love you, my sister, and thanks for coming. And yes. So the date again for the conference is March the 23rd through the 26th. And we have some phenomenal speakers, amazing lineup of activities. It will be taking place in New York City at the Broadway Millennium Hotel. So we are going to be slap bam into New York City. So hey guys, if you are listening to me and you have never, ever gone to New York City, here is your opportunity. I want to welcome Stacy V to the chat. And caller, your first three digits are 410. I welcome you to the call. If you want to talk and if you want to get in queue to speak once we get started, please just touch, I think, the number 1. And it will allow me to know that you would like to speak. So without any further delay, I want to take this opportunity to welcome and to introduce to you my honored guest for the evening, Mrs. Stephanie Lyman. Stephanie, good evening and welcome to the A New Day Show.
Thank you, thank you. And can I make sure you can hear me?
Yes, I am hearing you. And did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, my last name is Lyman. And one way that I always get people to remember it is by telling them that it's Lyman, like Frankie Lyman. And a lot of times when I say that, they automatically remember how to pronounce it. But yes, you did do it right. It's Lyman.
Good. Well, I'm good you didn't tell me that, because I have no idea who that person is. And that's right. That's another show. That's a whole show for another time. I want to thank you for taking time out from your family on a Sunday evening to not only be present here, but to invest in my mission and vision and also in the lives of my listeners. I want to encourage them to grab their pens and pads or their typing tablets, whatever, for those techie-savvy people. They're probably not as old school as I am that have a composition book and a journal that I write in. But however, we plan on having some financial conversation as well. So please, be prepared to jot this information down, because they are going to be richly blessing your life. So now, let us start at the beginning. Would you please let my guests know, set the stage for them. Let them know who Stephanie Lymon is.
Okay. So my name again is Tiffany Lymon, and I am I'm a business strategist as well as a coach and a speaker. And just to take you back just a little bit so that you can understand exactly what I do and why I do what I do, I'll just kind of just start with what gave me the inspiration to go down this path.
Stephanie, before you do that, I want you to tell people about you before you had all of these accolades and skills and talents, because people need to understand where we are all coming from, because a lot of people who are successful, they give the beginning and the end. It's like people who are sick terminally and they got healed and they get up and they're ready to give their testimony and they just got diagnosed and got healed right away. You know what I'm saying? They don't tell people about all the in-between that happened in their lives that led to that healing. So tell them about who you are, and we have enough time that we are going to get into all of the other things. But I want people to connect with you.
Okay, not a problem. And it's funny that you mentioned what you just said, because I feel exactly the same way that you feel and what you just expressed. I know that there are a lot of times when people are in the middle of their pursuit. They're in the middle of the journey towards whatever it is that their dream is, and they are experiencing challenges and they're experiencing troubles and different things that are part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at and talking to the people that have already made it, the people who are already on the other side. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what happens is that because you know when you get to a certain place that everything that you went through was worth it, and now you understand it, sometimes people forget exactly how it feels to be in that place where things don't make sense, or, you know, you kind of feel like, well, is, you know, am I ever going to make it? Am I in the right place? And so they lose that empathy, and they're just like, oh, just, you know, keep moving, keep going, but they're not really able to relate to people. So I totally agree with what you said, and really understanding the full journey and always being able to connect with every piece of what you went through get to where you are and where you're going.
That's right. So, I mean, who is this beautiful little ebony baby girl? Where did she come from?
So I grew up in New York. So I always say that I live in Maryland, but I'm always by way of New York. I've been here in Maryland for about 15 years, no, actually 16 years. I've been in Maryland for 16 years, but I still claim New York as home. So I was born in New York. I was there until I graduated high school, and I grew up in the South Bronx, about three blocks from Yankee Stadium. If you know any,
I said Boogie Down Bronx, yeah.
The Boogie Down Bronx, exactly. So I mentioned, you know, that it's three blocks from Yankee Stadium because when I first moved here to Maryland, people would always ask me, do you know where Hunts Point Market, which starts at Yankee Stadium and it goes all the way down to where it ends, which is Hunts Point.
You can walk across that bridge and end up right in Harlem, too. What?
Exactly. And I did that many times, walk right across the bridge. One bridge would take you to across to 145th Street, and the other one takes you to 138th Street.
That's right. Madison Avenue and Third Avenue Bridge.
Yes, exactly. So if you're familiar with the area, you know that there have been documentaries on HBO about Hunts Point Market and you know how terrible the area is. And so that's what people thought about when they heard I'm from the Bronx. I live that close to Yankee Stadium. It's like, well, that's a rough area, or that's a horrible neighborhood. But for me, growing up there, because that's what I knew, I didn't realize it then. I didn't realize all of, you know, all of the things that they were saying about that, the neighborhood and all that stuff. These were the things that I could see because that's all I knew.
That's right. And you took advantage of what was given to you.
Right.
We all tried to all the labels.
Exactly. And I wasn't so much influenced by the labels or influenced by what people were saying because, again, I didn't see it. I didn't know.
That's right.
What they were talking about. So for me, this was life. You know, this was everyday life. I didn't know all this other stuff that I guess I was missing that they were talking about.
Stephanie, it's interesting we have in this conversation because I just heard some of my story in you. Growing up in Jamaica, I had no idea I was poor. I didn't know I was poor until I came to America. And I came to America in my my 40s or 30s, and that's when I realized I was poor. Wow. Yes, continue.
My parents sent me to Catholic school when I was there, again, because that was sort of one of the things that, you know, most of my friends all went to a Catholic school or a Christian school, or they went to one of the magnet public schools. So I was always in a Christian school or in a Catholic school environment, which I realize now how much, you know, discipline and routine they instill in you, in addition to the academics, but just being able to teach you that semblance of discipline and respect. There's just a way to do things, and that carried through. Again, not realizing that's what was happening at the time, but I now know that one of the benefits that I got, even though I was in this, you know, quote-unquote terrible environment, I knew enough, I had enough foundation to not get caught up in the things that were around me.
Tiffany, have you ever heard the joke about the boy that was taken from the public school and placed into the Catholic school?
No.
Because he just was not doing his work, and his parents decided that they were going to put him in the Catholic school because the classrooms were smaller and everything. The boy would never, when he was in public school, he would never do his homework, nothing, and he was failing everything. His best time in school was lunchtime. Even gym, he didn't like. However, they put him in Catholic school, and the first day back from school, he was upstairs doing his homework. They couldn't even get him down for dinner. And when the first report card came in, he got A+ on everything, and he just had every assignment in. So when the mom and the dad asked him, well, what happened? I mean, it's just one, you know, you're not in the school long. What happened? He said when he walked into the lobby of the school and he saw that boy nailed onto the plus sign, they weren't joking, so he decided he was doing his work. So, did you get it?
Yes.
I want to take a break here. I want to welcome guests 5464. I want to welcome callers 5586-0038 and 3215. Remember, guys, you can join in at any time into the conversation. If you know I'm Tiffany and you want to say something to her, to show some love, if you have a question, please feel free to call in. So, yes, your parents, they were not allowing your environment to stipulate who their child becomes. So they invested in you and your education, and they sent you to a Catholic school. And a lot of our children nowadays go through the same st- stereotype thing, whether they live in the projects or wherever they live, or, you know, people are always saying, oh, they are no good. They are those people. They are this. They are that. They live in that community. And this is why it is so important that as guardians and as parents or even mentors, we need to stay connected with our young people and have conversations, thought-provoking conversations with them, because it is not easy being a teenager in today's world. It's not like when I was growing up. It is not easy. So I know we have busy lives, but we got to get involved with our children. Talk to them and find out what is going on in their lives. So, Tiffany, I thank you so much for sharing that part. So then you went to Catholic school, you graduated high school, and what happened?
I graduated high school, and I actually ended up getting a scholarship to attend Morgan State University, and that's how I ended up in Maryland. But what was interesting to me, even prior to getting that scholarship, was, again, because I was in a school where everybody sort of knew that their parents were sacrificing for them to go there, and so it wasn't a joke. Everybody was very focused, and so there was a lot of, I don't want to say necessarily competition, but within the school, what was perceived, what was average in that school was really above average. But for me, I was always sort of, in my eyes, an average student. I didn't see myself as, you know, I wasn't in the top 10% of my class. So I just kind of saw my, I felt as though I was barely making it, even though I was in all honor Regents. And of course, Regents only means something if you went to school in New York or California, but that was our state test you had to pass to graduate from the system.
Right.
I was in honor Regents classes, but again, it never dawned on me that average in an honor Regents class in a private school was well above average. So I was always pushing and trying to, you know, to do my best to maintain that.
Excel. And that speaks volume about those children, because, you know, we can all sit back today and say we wish the kids, that all kids that are sent off to colleges, understand about the sacrifices that's made for them by their parents, because I don't honestly think that they all do, because they go there and it's like freedom and they start partying and they start doing this. And before you know it, the school year finished and they fail everything. And they come home with an attitude as if it is their parents' fault. So I just pray that there are some teenagers, young people who are listening. I'll be back for your response. I just need to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. And again, I want to remind you to mark the date down for March the 23rd through the 26th in New York City. We are going to be rocking Times Square. It's going to be a vision transformation revolution weekend there. We are just going to turn everything over. And you want to be there. I have a phenomenal lineup of speakers, and you do not want to miss it. I'm going to open a couple of these lines and see whether or not anybody has any questions. So let me go here. Caller, your last four digits are 0038. Would you like to say something?
Hello. This
Hello.
Is Stacy.
State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Stacy. I'm calling from Orlando. Hi, Daphne. Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Stacy. How are you? Do you have a question, a remark, or a comment?
No, I'm on the call just to support Tiffany.
Okay,
and to
thank
listen
you.
To the radio show.
Yes, thank you. So please, if you ever want to say something, just touch the number one.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to go to caller, your last four. Oh, the one. Excuse me. They switch around on me on the switchboard here. Caller, your last four digits are 5586. Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Connie Bell. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Hi, Connie Bell from Baltimore.
Hi. I just want to make a comment that Tiffany is going to be my life, my business coach, and I am looking forward to this new experience and life change that I'm about to go through.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling
You're
in.
You're welcome.
And if
thank
you ever
Tiffany.
Want to...
Hello, how are you?
If you want to speak again, Connie, just touch the number one.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. And caller, your last three digits are 3215. Do you care to speak? State your name and where you're calling from, please. I guess that's a no. And I'm going to go to the next caller. Caller, your last four digits are 9677. State your name and where you're calling from, please. I guess that's a no. So, Tiffany, I'm back with you. Tiffany?
I'm here. Yes. I'm here.
So, do you have any reminding that I had said prior to the break and going to these calls?
Yes. Well, first I wanted to first say thank you to Stacy and Connie for supporting the show. And one thing that I did want to mention from what we were talking about prior to the break was just in talking about just education and even more than education, just supporting people. So while I did mention that I grew up in I grew up in the South Bronx. My dad was from New York. My mom was from South Carolina, and neither of them graduated from college. However, they both had a great value that they placed on education, mm-hmm. and because of that, my mother stayed home with me until I went to preschool,
wow.
and she loves. Everybody remembers the story. Every time I see people. From my family or my mother's friends from when I was little, they always have to tell the story of when I was 3 years old and my mom had taught me how to read, and they would put a Wall Street Journal in front of me to have me read it because it was just amazing to them that I could read anything that they placed in front of me. They're like, no, she's not memorizing it. Just give her anything. Give her a detergent bottle. She'll read the back of it.
Wow.
And so this is what her friends did. But even to this day, now I read at least a book or two a month, and those things that she taught me then are the things that kept through till now. I loved journals, and so I was always encouraged to write. So I know that everybody can't pay to send their children to a private school or a Christian school. So it's not just about that piece of it, but it's really about being able to identify what their gifts are and what are those things that they really excel in and those things that really motivate them, and mm-hmm. being able to support that, because that was bigger than the school that I went to.
Yeah, and to invest in the children, take the time to sit down and invest in them. I want to welcome, there's a caller on the line, your last four digits are 9. 39, welcome to the show. And so, Wall Street Journal at 3 years old. So it's no accident that you end up in a career in finance, because you were programmed to do that. So let's talk about your early career in finance.
Okay. So when I graduated from school, I my degree was international finance. And to be honest with you, I started with finance for two reasons. One, because I was exposed to it in a class that I took in high school. One of our teachers actually allowed us to invest in the stock market. Her husband paid the fees because he was a stockbroker. And that allowed us to really be able to see how money could grow and move in the stock market. And that was very interesting to me, especially because when I went home and tried to talk about that with adults, I realized that they didn't know what I was talking about. So I kind of said, okay, there's something to this. There's something to what I just learned and the fact that so many other people that I know don't know this. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of liked, my parents both worked in the finance industry, and I loved when I would go to their jobs or just go downtown, down by Wall Street or the World Trade Center at that time, and see people walking around in their suits and their heels. And I said, I want to one day be able to walk around with a power suit on and some heels, pulling a suitcase through the airport, just, you know, looking like I'm going somewhere and I'm important. So mm-hmm. that was just, I just associated that with being able to travel and finance.
Right.
And so
right.
my major was international finance. And while I was working, I took advantage of being able to have internships and to work. So I worked for Solomon Brothers, which is now part of Citigroup. I worked for them when I was in college, and also for T. Rowe Price while I was in college. I also in college took the opportunity to work with the Small Business Administration, which was on our campus. So I was able to gain experiences from those things even before I graduated. So upon graduation, I took a job at City Financial, which is also a part of Citigroup. It's now One Main Financial. I took a job there, and that's where I stayed for the next 10 years.
I want to remind the callers on the line, raise your hand by touching one if you have any questions. And for those of you in the chat room or those of you listening on your phones, you can call in 646-915-8166. And my guest is the talented Tiffany Lyman. So for 10 years, you stayed in the financial community. And I want to welcome Vanna to the show. Vanna is my assistant. Thank you for signing in. And you work with some of the top firms. Anybody who knows about the financial community know that the companies that you mentioned that you work for are really top of the line. However, there came a time when you kind of felt some void and you decided, I got to make a switch, right?
Yes.
Would you like to talk about that?
Yes. So it was about probably the sixth or seventh year that I was at City Financial. And so, of course, during this time while I'm at City Financial, I was also raising a family. So I currently am a mom of four children. And it was when, yes. So it was when.
You're not even 12 years old.
My oldest child is 12, so yes, I have my youngest is 6 and my oldest is 12.
Wow.
So when I was having I think I was pregnant with my second to last child, who is now 7, when I was pregnant with him, that's around the time when I decided that I wanted to do something a little bit more. I love corporate finance. I love the travel that was involved in that, and I was doing very, very well at the company where I worked. But I really wanted to work with individuals. I wanted to make a difference in helping people to learn some of the things that I knew from a financial perspective, understanding the stock market, understanding insurance, just being able to give them the education that they needed so that they didn't feel so afraid of being able to face the things that they needed to face as it related to their finances. And so I started to conduct literacy courses, and I started to kind of decide, okay, what would it take for me to start a business that maybe just provided financial literacy? And so in the beginning, when I started Mind Over Money, that is what I was aiming to do. I started the company in 2006, and my goal was to provide financial literacy, and that's what I did for the first couple of months. And then people would say, okay, well, now that I've gotten the literacy and the education, when I want to move to implementation, how do I do that? And I would say, oh, you need to go to a financial advisor. But they didn't feel comfortable that the advisor would implement what we talked about in the education part. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, something's still missing. So I went and got my Series 6, my Series 7, my 63, my 66, and life and health insurance licenses, all while I was working. And I said, okay, I'm going to do the literacy and the implementation piece. So I'll be a full-service financial advisor. And I went independent as an independent advisor. And that was once I left corporate America, that is what I was doing full-time, is that I was servicing individuals and businesses and helping them to maintain their financial health.
So, Tiffany, when you started out, what were some of the lessons you found out about finance and we, the people? What were aha moments you found out?
Okay. Some of the things that I found out, first thing was that people don't do better sometimes because they just don't know better. That there is a lot of lack of information or misinformation that is out there that really holds people back. Not understanding exactly what are the components of a credit report, for example. Some of those things, people are attempting to do the right thing. However, because they really don't understand and don't know all of the components and exactly how it works, they end up doing something that gives them the wrong result. And it's not because of bad intentions. It's just because there was a lack of information, or the information that they had was incorrect. So that's one of the big things that I saw. And then fear, not really knowing what was going to happen next, because finances for a lot of people represent stability. And because no one wants to lack stability, there's a lot of fear when it comes to making a decision that could affect your stability. So I know that fear played a factor in a lot of people's decisions or indecisions when it came to their finances.
So, and I'm sure even today in 2011, there are still some people who are right where you just mentioned now. And for those people, what's the first step that you encourage them to take to get out of that ignorant mode that they're in? What's the first step, and where should they go for this first step?
I would definitely say the first step is to just acknowledge what is going on. Whatever it is that you're dealing with in your finances, is to just simply acknowledge it. So that was one of the big things that was, because of the fear and because of the lack of information, what people did was they just ignored it, or they pretended as though it didn't exist. So before you can even start to get information, you have to acknowledge that it exists. And even now, as I have expanded into coaching people in all different areas, that same principle holds true, is that you can't fix what you don't face. So that was the first thing. And then from there, it's going out and gaining the information and doing it in the way that's the least intimidating for them. So maybe for some, it might be reading a book, finding a book that will speak to some of the issues that they're dealing with, whether it's credit, investing, starting a business, whatever that financial issue is. Maybe it's a book or a workshop that they can attend. It's whatever is going to be the least intimidating for them to just take that first step. So it might not be walking into a, you know, a Merrill Lynch or, you know, a Smith Barney office where they're throwing terms at you that you don't understand. That might be too much. So you might want to start with getting your own education in the way that you learn best.
That's
and
right.
Then armed with that additional confidence, then you can start to ask questions and get the information that you need to start to implement. But first, again, I think it's facing it and then getting some information so that you are confident when you're when you go out to talk to somebody and you're going to start to implement things that you don't feel as though you're in an inferior state or that you just don't know what's going on.
In your professional career as a finance person, finance professional, who do you think, and this is maybe not, you can give a professional point of view on it, male or female, which gender invests quickest?
So you said, I didn't hear the last part. So you said which one is that?
Male or female, which gender is quicker to say, let me invest and let me just take the bull by the horn?
I would definitely say that would be males. And it's just, again, it goes back to the misinformation. A lot of females, just a very simple thing, would say that they're not good with math. I've heard this so many times. I'm not good with numbers. Mm-hmm. And this is something that women say because they've heard someone else say it. When they're growing, you know, when you're the educational system, they allow you to maybe be a little less aggressive when it comes to math because it's okay. Girls aren't good with numbers. Well, that sticks with you. Finance is numbers, so now they say that. So
right.
I would definitely say males, and it goes back to some of the things that we allow ourselves to believe that would hold us back from being able to, you know, to actively participate in our financial matters.
Yeah, and we grow up in our homes hearing all these negativity about people that have money, and money is the root of all evil and all of that, which is not true. If you are an evil person and you get money, you become more evil, but money does not make you evil. So there's a lot of myths that is out there, a lot of stereotype and stuff about people with money and money in itself. I want to go to some of my callers here because I think they are forgetting to raise their hands. So let me check in with them. When I open your phone line, if you do not want to speak, you really don't need to say anything. Caller, your last 3-4 digits are 9039. Do you care to speak? All right. Let me know when you want to. Caller, your last 4 digits are 9677. Do you care to speak?
Yes, hi.
Take your name and where you're calling from, please, and welcome to the show.
Jennifer Matthews in Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm just
here supporting my friend Tiffany. I just got the email a couple of minutes ago.
Thank you.
Just in terms of what Tiffany is saying about women thinking that, you know, they're bad with math and just the negative self-talk that permeates a lot of people, but women in particular. So you know, when I'm doing my workshops, I make it real. And I always ask, you know, how many of you think that you're bad with math? And then I take them right to Macy's, and I say, when you walk in the door at Macy's, do you go to the 10% off or the 75% off rack? Everyone starts laughing because
keep
if you ain't Macy's, math is not an issue. You got those fractions and those percentages down to a science.
You get to
the cash register and they ring you up wrong and you're right there ready to correct them. But yet outside of the mall,
there's
this belief in our minds that math is hard or we're bad at math. So I just make it real.
That's right. Thank you so, so very much.
You're welcome. Great job, Tiffany.
All right. So I'm going to caller. Your last four digits are 3215. Do you care to speak?
Okay, can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name's Lorraine Cornish, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hello, Baltimore, Maryland. What's your question, please?
Well, I just want to make a comment. And
yes.
I was a single parent that raised two children on my own, myself.
Yes.
And I never, well, the information wasn't available when I was raising my children because I always felt I didn't have enough money to save money. Even as my income got greater or better, my lifestyle changed. And, I think back today in retrospect, I could be, won't say wealthy, but I could be in a different situation than I'm in right now. But
that wasn't
available to me at the time. And I'm from Chicago, so,
my kids
didn't know about that at that time.
That's right. And I tell people a lot of times, if we would go back for those people who ever pay rental, if we would go back and add up all the money we spend on rent, sometimes they would have to put us in the hospital. Because we say we don't have money, we don't make money, but look how much went through our hands to build somebody else's equity. You know? So I want to thank you so much for taking time out on the Sunday evening to call in. Do you have anything else to say?
That's it. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And I am going to go to caller. Your last four digits, are 0038. Do you care to speak? Yes, that's a no. And then I'm going to check one more line. Your first three digits are 251. 251, would you state your name and where you're calling from, please, if you care to speak?
Hey, this is Sylvia Browder, and
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Don't be burning the dinner.
Pardon me?
I said don't be burning the dinner now.
No, I'm not. I made taco soup.
Well, at the top of the hour, I did tell the listeners that you are to be credited for getting Tiffany on the show. And I just want to say, give you kudos, too, for the work that you're doing and just bringing these phenomenal women together. And we look forward to having you on here soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And the women that I recommend to you are phenomenal women, and, the story needs to be told.
Thank you. So do you want to say anything to my honored guest?
I just want to say great show, and I caught just the last end of it. I apologize. I was actually out cleaning my motorcycle. We're going to go for a ride, but
what?
I ran into
We have a Harley,
yes.
Oh, girl, I'm coming out for a ride.
You come on, girl.
Well, listen, we have 41 minutes remaining, so you didn't get the tail end.
Okay, I thought I did. I thought you were on Eastern time, and I just kind of got it mixed up. So I ran in. I said, let me hurry up. I want to catch a little bit of the show. So good. I'll stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That Harley's always going to be there, but we are not always going to be on this segment tonight. So,
I will be out and listen in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too, Sylvia. Yes. And this is what it is all about, women supporting each other. I want to thank Ellen for being on the call. Ellen is a teacher, and I know that she is just so touched by what you're saying, Tiffany, because she wants the best for her students. She worked with a special population of children in the public school system. And she's a behavioral specialist and all that. She goes into the home. So women are doing phenomenal work. Guest 5998, welcome to the show. And my guest is Mrs. Tiffany Lyman. So, yes, Tiffany. So, let us, is there anything else you want to say about finance before I switch gears?
The only other thing that that I wanted to say about the finances is start exactly where you are right now. And wherever you are right now is fine. Don't decide, okay, well, I have to wait until I do this or I have to wait until I do that. Because you can start with a dollar, saving just a dollar a week or a dollar a month, if that's what you had. It's working on developing the habits and developing the principles so that as your financial situation improves and increases, all you're doing is increasing the exact same habits and principles that you're putting forth. But if you continue to have bad habits and bad principles, you're going to continue those even as your financial situation improves, and you'll still end up in the same place. So start wherever you are with whatever it is that you have, and you'll see that it'll start to grow as long as you're consistent.
That's right. Because if you are not a good steward with little, why should you start with more? Because if you're not being a good steward with a small amount, you're not going to be a good steward with the much either. So just thank you for that boot camp on finance. And I know that everybody, both those who are listening live and for those who will be listening on the archived, I know that it will be adding value to them. So you were expecting your third child, and then you switch career, and now what are you doing?
Okay, so when I started the business, when I was expecting my second child, that's when I started a financial services business. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 years, with everything that went on, first of all, within the financial industry, I knew that there were some additional things I needed to add to my business. But in addition to that, I had been working with small business owners and women when I was a financial advisor. And what I realized from working with them was that one of the reasons why they were coming to me was because there was this gift or this talent or this business inside of them that they wanted to put out there, they wanted to give birth to. But before they could do that, they needed to get their finances together. And so we would spend a lot of time talking about the steps that they could take to start their business, the steps that they could take to realize their dream, the things that they could do today to help them to foster those things that they were very passionate about. And I really loved those conversations. I loved what I learned about people and what motivates them. I loved what I learned about business during that, and just the role that I was able to play in their lives. And so when I was looking for some additional things to do within my business, I remembered a quote that has stuck with me since I first heard it about 6 or 7 years ago. And the quote was, "How you do anything is how you do everything." And so I looked at that and I said, okay, well, if I was able to understand people's behaviors and motivations when it came to their finances, that same thing holds true when it comes to their relationships, when it comes to their businesses, when it comes to their leadership. So that means that I can take some of those same skills and some of those same techniques and apply that to helping them with their businesses and with the other things that are going on within their life to help them to really be able to live out their dreams. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was called, and so I just started asking. I did a little research. I started asking, and what came back to me was coach. Mm-hmm. And in the same vein that I did when I was looking to be a financial advisor, because that's what I knew to do, I started to get some education, some training, and I got certifications. I got certified as a leadership coach, as a Christian coach, and as a traditional life coach. And I set out and said, okay, now what I want to do is help people to be successful and to perform at their optimal levels in all areas of their life. Because being successful in one area is, you know, it's gonna be hard for you to feel fulfilled if everything else is upside down.
Yeah, because success and wealth is a balance. They are balanced, you know. A lot of people get them all intertwined and confused, but they are two distinct separate things. However, there needs to be a total balance. I cannot believe you mentioned that you are a Christian coach, because my next question I wanted to ask you was whether or not spirituality played any role in what you do. But mentioning you're a Christian coach, I think it's safe to say it does.
Yes, it definitely does. When I was at that crossroads between financial advisor and coach, one of the things that I did was, because at this point I'm saying to myself, okay, I took this leap of faith. I left my full-time job. At this point I had the four kids, so I have four kids, I have a mortgage, and now I am switching gears, and I'm like, God, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing here? Did I make a bad decision? What exactly is going on? And I said, okay, but it's a clean slate. And if I have a clean slate, then, okay, I'm just going to look at the things that I love to do and say, if I were able to kind of craft the rest of my life from here, what would it look like? And my specific prayer was that I would have a career that enabled me to consistently and continuously learn, because I love to read and I love to learn, and then to be able to translate everything that I learned to be able to help other people do what they love to do better, whether that's speaking, whether that's coaching, whether that's writing books, or all of the above. Mm-hmm. That's what my prayer was. And today, that's what I do. I learn continuously, and I document everything that I learn, mm-hmm. so that I can then turn around and share that with other people, mm-hmm. so that they can bypass some things that may take them a long time, that I can kind of take their hand and help them to get to that next space, because I understand what they're going through, or I can see that maybe they're doing it in a way that's going to take a long time. Let's mm-hmm. try to do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. So how does the transform Tiffany feels?
So how does the transform Tiffany feel?
Right now, yeah, doing what you are doing now and seeing the result versus corporate life.
And I absolutely love it.
Tiffany, a transformed Tiffany. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely love it, because I constantly feel, whenever I work with my clients or talk to my clients, I feel like what I do makes a difference, but also that I'm in the right place. It's not just about what I do makes a paycheck, mm. but it's helping someone to, you know, to feel supported or to grow, and it actually is doing something of significance. Mm. And so I love what I do today, because I feel, for me, that the significance that I feel today is better than the success that I would have had I stayed in corporate America.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to remind callers, you can call in at any time your dear sweetheart desires for you to call. The number is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome author Erica Goodridge to the chat room. And just call in, guys. Show us some love. I mean, we know what we're saying is good, but we love to have your input in what we are talking about as well. So would you care to elaborate on a couple of your success stories since you have decided to take the hands of a few people and said, well, listen, let me hold you so you can take a couple of steps to balance yourself. Would you care to share some of those stories? You can do it confidentially. You do not need to call the names.
Okay, not a problem. One of the experiences that comes to mind for me that brought a lot of things full circle was a an experience that I had when I was working with a corporate client. And the client that I was working with, I was coaching them as an executive coach. And one of the things that they were dealing with was the fact that culturally they were very different from the people who they worked around.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just their ethnicity that was different, but it was their cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was able to relate, even though we weren't of the same ethnicity, I was able to relate to some of the things that they were experiencing from the cultural perspective. I was able to relate to the fact that they always try to overperform to compensate for that difference. There were a lot of things that they did in their everyday life, some that worked for them, some that didn't, that I was able to relate to. And because of that, I was able to help them to see what was going on and to make the changes that allowed them to not just fit in. It wasn't about conforming, but that allowed them to see that they didn't have to overperform in this area.
That's right.
And that what people were really saying about them was that they wanted to see that person's authentic self. They wanted more connection with them.
Okay. Because you weren't hired because of your culture or your ethnicity. You were hired because you are qualified to do a job. So our own incompetence and in believing, not incompetence in the sense of the job, but as a human being, until you begin to see yourself as authentically who you are, then these other messes is going to be haunting you. So people keep pointing the fingers at somebody else where they need to stand in front of the mirror and have conversation with the person looking back at you.
Right, exactly. This person had multiple coaches prior to this, but one of the things that they said really made the difference was the empathy piece, was not just that I could say this is a coaching technique that worked, but that I understood exactly where they were, even though I knew that we needed to shift to another place. I understood both places, where they were and where we were working to get them to shift into. And I found that's one of the things that makes a huge difference. When you are able to be transparent with people and they know that you're human, you're not coming to them because you know everything, you're not coming to them with this huge amount of expertise, you're coming to them as a human with flaws, talking to another human with flaws, helping them to be able to walk through their journey, I find that helps to bring about a lot of results. And so in that particular case, I know that it was the empathy that really helped them to turn the corner and to be able to be successful and to make a full 180 turnaround in their performance, in the way that they showed up every day, and how they felt about where they were.
You know, there's a question in the chat room, but I just want to piggyback on something you mentioned about you're not coming as an expert. I tell my clients all the time, I said, don't come in here and be looking around and reading all this stuff on my wall, because I say I'm here as a Roto-Rooter. I'm just going to extract from you. That's what it is all about. So forget about all the things that's on my wall. That's not what you're coming for. I'm just going to help you to get all that mess you have inside out. And we're going to work with that. So it's work. Don't look on all the accolades and everything I have, because that has nothing to do with the work that we are going to do together. Erica is asking, Tiffany, can you speak about the power of having a coach and why coaching counts?
Sure, absolutely. So having a coach is very powerful. When you look at, you could think about athletes, right? So a person who is an athlete, one of the reasons why they have coaches is because the coach is not playing in the game with them. The coach is able to stand on the sidelines and watch what's going on, but also watch how their environment and everything around them is influencing what they're doing and or not doing. And so when the game is over or during the timeouts, when they're coming back off the field, the coach is actually able to tell them from a position of an observer what they have seen and what's going on. The coach doesn't have to be on the field with them in every single play, because the job of the coach is to say, okay, here's what's going on. Here's some reinforcement. Remember, these are the skills that you have. I'm not really seeing you implement those things when you're out there in the field, when you're out there with your clients, when you're out there playing the game. So a coach can give you that motivation, that reminder that you came here to play full out. I'm supporting you. So when you get back out there, that's what's expected. Coaches hold you accountable. It's when you release something into the air, it's very different from when you say to yourself, oh, I'm going to write a book. When you say it to someone else, and every time you see them, they're asking you, okay, how far did you get? It's October 1st. You said that you were going to have the outline. Let me see the outline. When you know that that person is going to hold you accountable to everything that you stated, it does something to you because you don't want to let them down. Unfortunately, a lot of us are conditioned to letting ourselves down, but we are very committed to impressing or to doing what we say when we commit to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so when you're working with a coach, that's what steps in, is that you're not just committing something to yourself, but you've also made that commitment to someone else. And when they hold you accountable to that, 9 times out of 10, you'll actually end up doing what it is that you said that you would do, because they're going to help you and they're going to push you and they're not going to allow you to shrink, with fear and all those things that would cause you to not pursue that goal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just also want to add, it's interesting. I had just typed to let her know that the coach holds you accountable, and then you mentioned that. And the other thing about Erica, working with a coach is an objective sounding board for you, because a coach is never going to tell you that nobody ever achieved that. You crazy? Why you want to go do that? You can do that. You're a woman. You're overweight. You're skinny. Your hips is too big and all of that. Nobody in your family ever do that. A coach would never tell you that. And this is why it is so important to work with a coach. It's objective. As a coach, we are going to ask you, now, what is your other plan? Now, which one of these plans you want to implement first? And even when we help you to extract the things, we are not discarding anything. Everything is placed in front of you for you to prioritize what goes on the back burner and what you attend to now. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to take a commercial break.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And March the 23rd through the 26th in New York City will be the Vision Weekend Conference. It's going to be a vision transformation revolution. Looking to be unstuck? Looking to get clarity on securing joint ventures? Looking to understand the difference between being employed and releasing your brilliance? Then that's the place to be. So start putting your money down, because you want to be with us at the historic Hudson Theater at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City. Again, the date is March the 23rd through the 26th. The number to call in to speak with my honored guests or myself is 646-915-8166. And my guest today is the talented Tiffany Lyman. Tiffany, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, all right. So we are moving right along. The guys that are on the phone, remember to touch one if you want to speak. And Erica, thank you. That was a very, very, very good question. And for those of you guys who are on your computers, go ahead and just tweet. We have 20 minutes remaining. Just fill the phones up and the chat room. Just tweet it and let the people know we have a financial expert on the show. And they need to come and get some clarity about clearing up their stuff. So do grant us that favor. And just let us have this phone light up for the next 19 minutes. So, back to you, Tiffany. Okay, I also want to remind the people who are listening or those in the chat room or on the phone, please visit us at facebook.com/VisionWeekend and like our fan page. And as well, I want you to visit facebook.com/DynamicDaphne to like my fan page, because I am at max on my regular Facebook account and they will not allow me to do any more, but you can join me on my fan page. So I look forward. I have a goal that I need to reach by the 15th of October. So I have 13 more days, guys. So rush on over there and click not the like on your wall, but the like on the fan page wall itself. So both pages are facebook.com/VisionWeekend or facebook.com/DynamicDaphne. So questions. All right. I have a call and I'm going to check this person to see if the person wants to talk. I think they were on and got kicked off. But let me see. I'm just going to take my chances here. Caller, your last four digits are 5586. Do you care to speak? All right. I guess that's a no. So, Mrs. Tiffany.
Yes.
I want for us to kind of start to summarize our conversation today, what the thoughts you want to leave the listeners with, the high points, because it's a lot of food for thought that you gave. But there are some things, even if they forget X, Y, and Z, here are some things you want them to engrave in their forearm. What are these things?
One of the things that I would say is that your income does not is not the thing that's going to prove or to determine what your outcome is. And when I say income, I'm not talking about just financially, but I'm talking about from a background perspective, you know, from a family perspective, whatever things that you feel like are holding you back, whether that's gender, ethnicity, whatever those things are, they are not predictors of what your outcome is going to be. You can make a defining decision or have a defining moment at any point that says that you're going to go in a different direction than whatever those genetic or ethnic or gender predictors say you should do. So that's one thing. Another thing that I would say is for those of you who are either business owners or even if you're not a business owner, if you are working in a career and you're moving to develop in that career, be flexible. Be able to know that what you're doing today may not be the exact same thing that you're doing 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't mean that the lessons that you're learning today are in vain. They'll all be able to come together and blend together. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I was going to end up retiring from financial services, and I'm a coach now. You couldn't have told me that 10 years ago. I would have fought you if you told me that 10 years ago.
Are you afraid? Crazy, you kidding me? All that money, right, I spent for this education?
and all that time and all of that, but none of that was in vain because every relationship that I created along the way was valuable. Every lesson that I learned along the way was valuable. So just be open to change and be open to be flexible so that you aren't stuck in a place that no longer serves you simply because you refuse to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is just to be able to not be very judgmental on yourself. So as a coach, one of the things that I do when I'm working with my clients is I create a space and an environment for them that's non-judgmental. So wherever they are is where they are. Whatever is existing in that space, that's what's there. Now we make a decision on what are we going to do with it. Okay, you're afraid. I'm not going to say, well, that's horrible that you're scared. Get over it. No. Okay, you're afraid. That it exists. So we're going to determine what are we going to do from here. Are you going to allow that fear to stop you? Are we going to stop because of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to move forward in spite of it? And
mm-hmm.
and so it's acknowledging that we don't have to place judgment on everything. We can just say, where I am is where I am, and
that's
now
right.
I need to determine where I'm going
right.
to go.
That's right. It's what it is. It's not right or wrong. It just is. You know? Just is. So I want to ask, this question just came to my spirit. Are there any spiritual practices that you recommend that your clients do while you are coaching them?
When I work with my clients, I really make sure that I am, again, meeting them exactly where they are. So there isn't anything that I would say that everybody across the board needs to do because everybody's in a different place. So I talk to them and I encourage them to integrate a conversation with God throughout their day in the way that's most comfortable for them because my goal is to help them to understand that they can have a relationship with God, that God is not mad at them and God isn't punishing them. And so I don't want to do anything that makes it feel forced for mm-hmm. them, because I know when that happens, then what that does is it deteriorates the love that you want people to feel in
mm-hmm.
their relationship with God. And so I just foster whatever comes naturally for them as they are fostering that relationship. I'll ask them questions that really get to the root of how they see themselves
mm-hmm.
and how they see God, and just helping them to get to the place where it is a free-flowing relationship, and any of the things that they were holding on to that were damaging that relationship that might have come from different things they learned from religion,
mm-hmm.
I try to help them to overcome those things and to know that it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't anything that I would say that I have, you know, some formula that they all have to do,
mm-hmm.
but I meet them where they are, and my goal is to help them to establish a relationship with God.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you are not comfortable answering it, you can just tell me that. What is your take and your personal belief around tithing? Tithing of your finances.
My personal belief around tithing is that it is the 10% that we provide back to God, back to His kingdom, to show that we trust Him. It's that piece that we're able to sacrifice back to say, okay, we know that from a practical perspective that's what goes to help to maintain the church and maintain where we're getting spiritually fed. But it also shows that we are willing to trust God enough to say that I don't have to hold on to all the 100%. I don't have to hold on to everything because I know that God is continuing to meet my needs. And so because God is continuing to meet my needs and not actually this money, that letting go of that 10%, that's not something that I am attached to, because I know that the money is just the resource that God is using right now. But God can use any resource that he wants to use. So when we have the ability to tithe, what that shows is that we are not so attached to the money or attached to the things that are our material that we can't let go of it if God has need of it or if God commands us to do that. So it's just another one of those things that's like evidence of our obedience.
Mm-hmm. One of our faith. Thank you. And I want you to please tell our listeners how they can reach you and just give me your closing thoughts after you do that.
Okay. So to reach me, you can find me on my website, which is www.pearlsinpursuit.com. Again, it's pearlsinpursuit.com. And I will give you this precursor. If you go to my website today and it is not up, I'm making actually some changes to add. I had to add a secure socket layer to the site so that I could do something on Facebook. So if it's not there today, try it again tomorrow, or you can friend me on Facebook. And my name on Facebook is Tiffany In Motion Lyman. So, again, it's Tiffany In Motion Lyman if you want to friend me on Facebook, or you can go to the website. Once you're at the website, I encourage you to join the mailing list. I actually send out every day a devotional. It's just something to support you as you're going through your pursuits in life. I know that there are ups and downs as you are pursuing that thing that is your purpose. And so I want to encourage people to stay on that course. As you mentioned earlier, I know what it feels like to be in the middle of the pursuit. And so I always want to be able to reach people that are there and to encourage them to continue to move forward. So I definitely encourage you to sign up for that, and you will receive that daily, and you'll also receive updates on the things that that I have moving forward. In terms of a final thought, I would again just say to you.
Tiffany, yes. Hold on, please. I want to give the people on the phone one more opportunity, and also the people in the chat room. This is your opportunity, if you have one burning question, guys, to call in 646-915-8166 or type it in the chat room. We are 7 minutes off, so we can still take a few more calls. So if you have a question, let me hear from you. 646-915-8166, or please type it in the chat room. I am here with my honored guest, Tiffany Lyman, and I just want to thank her for investing in my vision and calling and into the lives of my supporters and listeners. And I think that we do not have any questions. I don't know if they are dialing in, but if they pop up on the switchboard, I will open for them to speak. But until now, I want to thank Erica Goodridge. I want to thank Ellen. I want to thank Vanna Kay. I want to thank callers 5586 0877 903-900-38 for just staying the duration of the call with us. Tiffany, would you give us your closing remarks? Because no one has called in.
Okay, no problem. So just as my closing remarks, again, I just want to encourage you to stay on your journey. Wherever you are in your journey, no judgment. That's where you are. Embrace that place that you're in. Enjoy the journey as you're moving forward, because, again, you're going to be flexible to it. So it can change at any time. So just allow yourself to enjoy the entire process and your entire pursuit. Again, I encourage you to go to the website, and you can sign up for that free devotional that'll give you some support as you're moving forward in your pursuit. There are also a couple of events that I have coming up that will help you with your pursuit. We have a vision board event that will help you personally and professionally. And I also have a more targeted event for business owners that will help you to get back some of your time and money that you're using in your marketing and operation efforts, just to help you to streamline those things so that you can leverage your time and money in a more efficient manner. So definitely visit the site often so you can see what things I have coming up. And everything that I put out there are things that I feel will help people as they're moving forward in their personal, professional, and entrepreneurial pursuits. So if there's something that you want but you don't see, please feel free to let me know that, and I can either point you in that direction or we can see how we can work together. I want to thank all of the people who mentioned their names and who called in support. That's what it's all about. We support one another, and it always feels good to know that people will take their time out to say that they are investing in what you're doing and that believe in what you're doing enough to support you with their presence. So thank you for that, and thanks Sylvia for making the introduction, and then Dr. Daphne, thank you for allowing me to be one of the guests on your show. One thing that I don't take lightly is when people allow me to speak to their audiences and to participate in something that they put their name on. I definitely take that as something that is very serious and that I count as a privilege. So I thank you for allowing me to be on your show and to spend this time with you, as I know that you're moving forward to the event that you have coming up next year. And so I definitely support you in your event, and I thank you for having me on here and supporting what I'm doing as well.
Okay. You are very, 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 very welcome, and I just pray your continued success. And just a reminder to all my friends and my listeners and supporters, stay focused. Remember that you have a destiny, and do not allow anyone or any circumstances or situation to derail you. I encourage you, just on Wednesday when I'll have, I think I'm going to have maybe 3 mail. Right now I have 2 already on this show. So stop by on Wednesday when we will be here at 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time. So follow your destiny, guys. I love you. Stay blessed. Stay open. And I love you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you.
for showing me, and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this lady. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this lady. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it.